Welcome, everyone, to another edition of SCRC's Let's Talk Caregiving podcast. The purpose of Let's Talk Caregiving is to help stimulate discussion and bring awareness about caregiving and connect families with services that are out in the community or available through SCRC or Southern Caregiver Resource Center. I'm your host, Roberto Velasquez, Executive Director of SCRC, and I'm here as always with my co-host, Marta Rañón, Director of Government and Community Affairs.
Hi, Roberto.
Hi, and welcome. Today, I want to talk about family caregiving through the holidays. You know, it's the time of season again.
That's a good topic.
End of the year, holidays coming up, a time where usually, normally, people are celebrating and with family and remembering wonderful memories, lots of food.
Vacations,
festivities. I mean, I remember as a kid growing up, this was one of my favorite times.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just waiting. Couldn't wait until it was Christmas, or I couldn't wait for Thanksgiving to come because we knew we were going to get together with all our cousins and our families and our grandmothers.
And lots of food.
Lots of food and lots of playing and yes. Kind of chaotic, but in a fun way.
Organized chaos.
Right. But I know that situation often changes when you are a family caregiver.
Yes, it does. And I'm so glad that we're talking about this because we are entering the holidays and talking to a lot of caregivers. It is a time of stress, which is kind of the opposite of what you were just talking about. But it can be very stressful. There are these expectations. People feel judged if they don't kind of reach that level of what's expected. A lot of times there's this need to cook the perfect meal and have this certain number of people and decorate the house a certain way. And these just added stressors really do a number on a family caregiver.
Exactly. And I know it's a time of a lot of mixed emotions and as you said, extra stress when you are a caregiver. And so I was hoping we could talk a little bit about some ways to get through the holidays.
Yes.
If you are a caregiver, while maybe still being able to enjoy it as you may have enjoyed them in the past. But I think part of it is your expectations.
Absolutely. And you've been a family caregiver as well as I have. And I obviously it's through trial and error that you kind of learn what works and what doesn't work. And that's why I'm so glad that here at SCRC, I'm able to hold classes and do our live stream and our tip videos and even this podcast talking about some ways to manage that stress and how to divvy up some of the responsibilities. Because sometimes caregivers really put it on themselves. I hate to say that, but we feel that we are the super caregiver, you know, that we can do it all. And I've always done the turkey this way, or I've always done the casserole that way.
Or decorated the house a certain way.
Yes. And sometimes when things change, we don't change with those changes.
Right. Especially because we're looking at the holidays as tradition as well.
Yes.
And so you definitely have these expectations of what it's supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. So I actually have off the top of my head, a list of tips that I like to share with caregivers because there's something about having small bits and ways and tools, I call them, to be ready in case a certain situation happens. So I think it starts with evaluating what it is to get together, the holidays. You know, the first one's coming up is Thanksgiving. Reevaluate what those expectations are. Sometimes people feel the need to cook this elaborate meal and, like you said, these decorations, over-the-top decorations, but is it that necessary? Can you do with one extra, one less wreath or, you know, is it okay if you don't invite this extra person because it's just going to be a problem?
Or even the meal prep. I mean,
yes.
Thinking about if you're the one that always makes the turkey, let's say, for Thanksgiving or the ham, could somebody else bring it instead?
Yes.
Already prepared.
Actually,
not to cook at your house.
I remember when I was a caregiver one time, I said, you know what? I'm just going to buy the meal and have it ready. It's delicious. It's easier. You just plate it.
Right.
And no one knew
Right.
You know, I mean, it's really what was just a little bit easier than having to cook the whole turkey.
Or maybe it's time to start sharing grandma's old recipe.
Yes.
So that somebody else can bring that delicious dish that everybody truly enjoys.
Yes.
During these times.
I think with, you know, you talked about celebrating memories and really kind of having those moments of reflection. And as caregivers, we kind of have to put things into perspective. Why is it that we're getting together? Are we getting together for the purpose of having be a chaotic experience? Or are we getting together because we want to get together and we haven't seen each other? And I think that's what is important. Really taking stock of, you know, it's great that we're all here. What can we do about the fact that we're together?
Right. And also, I think taking, I don't know if this is the right word, but inventory of who's coming.
Yes.
And whether or not those people are people that bring joy
that's what I said
to
earlier.
Your life, or are people who are going to create conflict for you, or at least make you not feel so great. Sometimes you do get the negative people in the family who come in and aren't very helpful during the year, and then they're here and they kind of start critiquing. And even if it's in a positive way, because they're not helping, that could actually cause resentment or make you as the caregiver feel unappreciated. Or even hurt your feelings.
I'm glad that you mentioned this, because I know these are the topics that become really difficult to discuss. But I tell caregivers, look, we in this technology infused age that we live in, we have access to all kinds of ways to communicate with each other. So it doesn't have to be at the dinner table when we're going to talk about it for the first time, how I feel about you and how you rub me the wrong way and how you get on my nerves, right? There are ways that we can do this. And what I suggest is that you have these discussions before, ahead of time. Hey, in preparation for this Thanksgiving get-together, I need to let you know that mom has been exhibiting some symptoms of memory loss. If you notice that she starts asking you the same question over and over, it's because of her dementia.
So prepping the
exactly.
family of what they might be able to expect from mom or dad or the individual who has maybe some form of dementia or Alzheimer's.
Especially because if those individuals don't, if they don't live with the care receiver or with you, they might not be so willing or maybe understanding of the changes that are happening. So it's maybe kind of, like you said, prepping them, letting them know you might see some changes. This is what's happening.
But the bottom line is not, let's not have those discussions during this event, during the dinner table.
The get-together. That day.
Right. It's better to maybe say, hey, if anybody is interested, I'd like to have a family meeting the day after or the day, you know, sometime.
I would recommend a couple of days before.
You're right.
Because then you give it some opportunity to really sit with those new feelings, sit with this information, and really digest what it is that is going to be happening.
Yeah, because it's definitely not a time to hash out difficult situations or issues that have been boiling up over the last year or so.
Yes.
So you sort of, as a caregiver, then you kind of have to stay a little neutral if somebody, you know, does bring up something, and then kind of just.
Well, what I tell caregivers is it's important to validate your feelings as well as validate others' feelings. So if as you're sharing this new information, if somebody reacts in a way that's, you know, totally unexpected, or they have a hard time processing, also giving them that space to digest the fact that mom is having memory problems or whatever it is, and giving them that space to process that.
And, you know, you were talking earlier about expectations and adjusting your expectations. And I think one of the things that family caregivers don't do enough is take time for themselves. Take that brief time out. Even if it's during the day for 5 minutes or so, just to do some maybe breathing exercises or some guided meditation or something, or listen to music on their own.
Well, and that is why I think if you have these conversations beforehand, mm-hmm. then you can actually set it up so that during the day of the get-together, the gathering, you can tell somebody, you know what, I'm going to tap you on the shoulder when I really am needing a timeout. And that's going to be your cue to step in because I need to step out.
Right.
And that could be something that you set up beforehand because you do want that break.
Yeah, absolutely. And also I think even leading up to those events, like the days of finding someone to help you so that you can have maybe a more regular routine where you can get away and take that like brief time out from the caregiving role, which is something we recommend all the time. I mean, we know that a happy caregiver if you're feeling better as a caregiver, it benefits everybody.
Absolutely. And to give you an example right there, when you're talking about asking for help, I know sometimes it's easier said than done because, again, we want to do it all.
Right.
But if, for example, somebody's coming out of town and you usually are the person who picks them up, well, now that you are a caregiver, that might not be the case. You might not be able to do that. So, again, having this conversation ahead of time with that person who's coming in from out of town and explaining, you know what? Now I can, I'm not able to do this, but how about we set you up with a car service so they pick you up and they bring you home. And now we all have those apps and we all can
Uber,
do that.
Lyft.
And so that way, you know, we can find other ways to bring you. Have somebody else pick you up. Have just a different way of getting to the gathering rather than me being the one to pick you up.
Right. And you know, the bottom line is the holiday season's going to pass. It's short-lived on a regular basis. It's a few months. And so this added stress to already a very challenging, many, many times challenging role as a caregiver is short-lived, but it is added stress. And it's important to, like you said, look at your expectations. What are you trying to accomplish during this time, during the holiday seasons? And I think one of the other things is I hear a lot that, you know, talking about fond memories, it's always good to find reasons to laugh about things. And of course, I'm not talking about laugh about the individual that you're caring for or some of the symptoms or things of that go along with that, although most caregivers do incorporate humor into their role as a caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
But just things to laugh about, family, things
well,
to
reminisce. And remember when mom used to do this or
right.
dad used to do that and
right.
telling their stories. And
right.
and ultimately, it's important to still involve the care receiver.
Right.
I tell caregivers, just because the person might not be able to cook their well-known famous dish, you can still involve them. You can give them tasks that are very simple. For example, if they were the ones that used to do the green bean casserole and they no longer are able to do that, why don't you just have them help you with the casserole?
Like wash the green
beans.
Like
wash the green beans or take the little ends off or put them in the container.
Right.
Or they can set the table. Or they can do arts and crafts with the grandchildren. I mean, there are so many other things that they can do instead of just sitting in a corner waiting for the meal.
Right. And that's always so important to involve the individual, the care recipient, the family member who might have Alzheimer's or another form of chronic disability in the whole mix of everything and allow them to do what they can do. Even like you said, just simple things. It could be, especially somebody with dementia might not be able to put things together, but they can fold a tablecloth for the place settings and things of that nature. I think that's also gets them involved and lets them participate and be engaged.
Absolutely.
So there are also challenges, again, getting back to the care recipient. Sometimes these settings or these holidays can be just too stimulating.
Yes.
And it could cause them to have behavioral issues or problems that you really try to avoid all year, and now all of a sudden you're pushing them into a situation where it might be very challenging to manage.
It's too much. Yes. I tell caregivers to keep that in mind, that if it's too noisy, if there are too many people in the room, if there are too many children running around because they're being children, maybe for a person who has some sort of cognitive impairment or they're elderly and they're tired, they might start exhibiting signs of discomfort and anger and kind of lashing out, and then everything becomes a problem. So then keeping that in mind, keeping things at a minimum, and really considering maybe we don't have to have a dinner at 7 o'clock at night. Maybe we have a brunch. Mm-hmm. Maybe we have an early dinner or a lunch even, so that the loved one, the person that you're caring for, can participate. And then it's time for them to go to bed, and they can go to bed, and you can still continue the festivities, but it's no longer forcing that person to stay up until dinner time, which might be too late for them.
Right. And I remember a family caregiver telling me this story about him. He was caring for his wife, and his wife had Alzheimer's, and he was trying to get her ready to go to their daughter's house for dinner.
For dinner, yeah.
And it was, he said it was around 4 or 5 o'clock. Again, it was a
dinner.
7 o'clock mm-hmm. dinner. And so he laid out some clothes for her to wear, and she didn't put it on. So then he went and started to help her put her clothes on, and he left the room, and he came back, and she took it back off. And it just went on and on for about an hour, where he couldn't really get her to commit to getting dressed. And he finally just gave up and called his daughter and said, "I can't make it." And later on, he thought to himself, you know, maybe she was telling me she's tired.
And she doesn't want to do this.
And she doesn't want to go outside of the house. So those are things that are like signs to pick up on, little nuances that only you as a caregiver know, because you're there on a regular basis. And then you can then interpret that and make adjustments.
Absolutely. And that's why talking to the family would be beneficial in that case.
Right.
Right. Hey, daughter, there might be the case where mom might not want to go. So why don't we just have you come over? Or better yet, let's just go to a restaurant earlier, that's okay. I mean, if that could also go the other way, and it could be a problem. So you need to assess.
Yeah.
But it you need to pick up on those cues.
Yeah, and I think also, like, if you do end up taking your mom or your dad with you to somebody's house for Thanksgiving, let's say, and the environment isn't conducive to them, even though you've given them the forewarning that, you know, try to keep it low-keyed, make sure that they also know that you may not be able to stay.
Yes.
You know, and it's okay. And, you know, it shouldn't disrupt the whole thing.
Yes.
You might have to go and leave in 10 minutes after you've said hello to everybody and just get a plate to go and go home, because, you know, mom and dad or grandma and grandpa might not be in the mood to be celebrating with everybody because of the environment.
You know what? It's interesting. I am remembering my own situation where I had taken my aunt, who I used to care for, and we were going to a relative's house, and they were going to do the dinner, and I think we brought something, I forget. And so my aunt was there, and it was very informal. It wasn't really like a, you know, over the top where everybody's having a very fancy meal. It was very informal. There were a lot of children present. So I was very thankful for that. But I remember I made her plate and she ate. And then I thought, okay, you know, maybe it's time to go home. And when I said that, she became upset because she said, "We can't leave. I haven't had turkey yet." And I'm like, "Yes, you did." So then I thought, okay, maybe she's telling me she doesn't want to go. She's enjoying the time.
Right.
So then we did stay a little bit longer than I had initially planned.
Right.
Even though I had already told him, "Hey, we're probably going to leave by this time.
Right.
It's, you know, her time for her to go to bed." but she wanted to stay.
Right.
And she was having a good time. So I figured, okay.
And that could happen, and it's really nice when it does, mm-hmm. when they want to stay. And I think that's when you also, either at your home or the home that you're going to possibly, you prep with some things that might help them, stimulate them, and give them a pleasant activity, because they might not be able to engage in conversations like they used to, or like everybody else. And that might even be confusing and annoying.
Yeah.
So you can bring out the old scrapbooks and start reviewing them and looking at pictures when they were young, or their parents, or, you know, and let them tell the story, which often triggers long-term memories. And we all know that those are the ones that stay with us the longest. And those are fun times to hear those old time stories.
Yes. And I really do. If anyone out there has families where you're mixing kind of intergenerational kids and the people that you're caring for, consider having some arts and crafts.
Right.
You know, consider making really simple objects that will engage all of you,
right.
And therefore create something that's colorful, that is nice. They're using their hands. They're getting involved. They're interacting. And that could be an activity that is done. Maybe somebody can supervise that activity with the children and the elderly person that's being cared for, while the other individuals are cooking or prepping or serving or engaging with other conversations.
Right. I mean, one of the most unfortunate things that could happen, as we have mentioned, is the overstimulation that might cause behavioral problems, because once that gets triggered and somebody becomes agitated, it's really hard to get them out of that mode.
Yeah.
As caregivers will tell me, it took me, you know, the rest of the day to calm down mom, mm-hmm. after she was so agitated when we went to the doctor's appointment, or when we went to the grocery store, or when so-and-so visited, which triggered some bad memories.
Yes.
Even if they weren't as accurate, but still, it's that stimulation that triggered something. If it goes to a agitation issue or things of that nature, it is very, very difficult to get them to be calm again.
So then you have to be, as a caregiver, prepared. You know, what are some of the things that you can do? So my suggestion would be starting with redirecting.
Right.
Maybe get the assistance of somebody else that can help you step in. Maybe they're receptive to someone else more than they are to you. And so then, you know, maybe the son, it's someone that she feels like she can do what he says versus what you're telling her to do, because I know that's happened in the past. So then have that person help you with that. Go out for a walk.
Right.
Give them their favorite dessert and just find other ways to help them calm down. And if you need to leave, like you said, well, then maybe that's the time. That's the time.
Do you think it's appropriate for a family caregiver to say, hey, we're going to go for Thanksgiving, but I'm going to drop off mom and I'm going to go home for a little while and take a nap, and then I'll come back and I'll join you later, or I'll take my plate to go.
Good luck.
Good luck with that. But that wouldn't be appropriate, though. I mean, if the family had agreed to that.
Absolutely. Every family is different, and every situation is different, and people get involved in different ways. So if that's something that would work for you, then go for it. But someone would have to take on that primary caregiver role at that moment.
Right. And that's what I mean. I mean, planning things out as a caregiver that give you a little bit of a break, because, again, it's already a very challenging role, especially if you're the primary caregiver and the person you're caring for is dependent on you for almost everything.
I was just talking to a caregiver a couple of days ago, and she was telling me, I asked her, oh, so what are you doing for the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday? And she said, oh, that's how she responded. Oh, I have all kinds of people coming over to my house, and I'm always expected to do the cooking and the cleaning and the entertaining and the hosting, and the person that's doing everything, and nobody else helps. So we really need to kind of take stock of that. If that's something that you are not okay with, but you know that happens, then be your best advocate. Then really say, I can't do this year.
Right.
If you want to come to my house, somebody else needs to clean, or somebody needs to bring, make it a potluck. Everybody yeah. bring something.
Right.
And don't put it all on yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that is a very good tip for families who are in that caregiver role, especially when the party's at their home, you know, when the gathering's at their home. But even when it's not, like you said, adjusting your expectations and letting people know, hey, I'm not going to bring that famous casserole. I'm going to buy some potato chips on my way to your house and we'll make some dip and we'll do that. Unless you want to give them the secret recipe and they can make it over there.
Well, here's another story. And this is, I'm guilty of this. I remember one year I really wanted to make pumpkin pie from scratch.
Right.
And I had my pumpkin and I was gonna, you know, just do it all from scratch because I figured, wow, you know, I have this great recipe. Why not? It must have taken me all day the day before to make this pumpkin pie. And at some point, somebody said, well, why don't you just go to the store and buy a pumpkin pie? It's like $5 or something.
Right.
You can even buy a bigger one or buy two or three. And you're probably going to spend less time
yeah.
and less money
right.
than if you did it from scratch.
Right.
And I thought about that and I said, you know, this is where I had to evaluate. I know I really wanted to make this pumpkin pie from scratch.
Right.
But I was a caregiver during that time. So maybe that's the year that it was okay for me to buy the pumpkin pie.
Right.
I can do that some other time.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be for this time. So I think it's something to consider for people that want to make their own turkey.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that it's, again, I think the message that we're putting out today is during the holidays is really kind of prioritize, be flexible with your expectations.
Communicate
with others very clearly to make sure that they're aware of possible behaviors, symptoms, the person that you're caring for in case they see them, and to make adjustments and be flexible on the fly. Yes. I mean, you could have your already reduced expectations, and yet that might not even work.
Yes. And that's what we tell caregivers in our classes. You know, it's having that toolbox where you can try different things. And if the first thing doesn't work, then you go to the second thing. And if that doesn't work, then you go to the third tool. And until something works.
Right.
And you might need to ask others to help you with that. But it's really trying to figure out different things.
Got it. Any other tips?
Well, and I think we've covered a lot. But I think for families out there, really to consider that small gatherings mm-hmm. might be best
right.
versus larger gatherings. Which I know it can be a very difficult thing to try to organize if you're used to having large gatherings. But to avoid these triggers that we were talking about. And that's why maybe you have multiple events. Maybe Thanksgiving is not just one day, but several, you know. And maybe this one involves the care receiver and then the next one doesn't, and somebody stays and takes care of that person. Yeah. I know it doesn't sound traditional,
right?
But it's just trying to lessen the stress.
Right. Yeah. I guess there's hundreds of tips that can be offered during
and
these holidays.
We do, just so you know, to all of our listeners out there, we on our webpage do have a couple of tip videos, and I know we have done the caregiving through the holidays. We have on our Facebook page, we have a couple of tips that we are talking about the holidays, and people can really quickly see them. And then, of course, they could always feel free to visit our webpage to give us a call and let us know how we can help them with resources. So that would be good.
Thank you very much, Martha, for sharing your stories and
reminiscing
about your days as a caregiver. Well, that's all the time we have left for this edition of Let's Talk Caregiving. I want to thank Martha for co-hosting and sharing her story again.
My pleasure.
And I want to remind our audience that if you are providing support to a loved one, you don't have to do this alone. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength.
Yes, it is.
Just go to our website at scrc.care or call us at 1-800-827-1008. And remember, SCRC is here for you,
caring for those who care for others.
Thank you.